This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Sandy Baskin will be joining us shortly. Dan Menigan flying the ship today, and Meredith taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. Guardians got it all going yesterday. You know, the start of spring training is kind of like the slow opening of a restaurant. You know, hey, the first official day. Okay, it's official, but guys have been there forever, and they've been, you know, doing everything that they're supposed to do and working out like crazy. So I guess, you know, the real deal started yesterday, and that's a good thing. And now comes the evaluation of what do we have and how do we use it. And, Dano, you call it the pitching factory. I get it. I like it. I believe it. But this year, I think it's a little different. And I don't know how you feel about this. We haven't discussed this, so this will be great live reaction from Dan Menigan. I have real concerns about the starting rotation this year. And I don't know that I should. And I want you to either talk me off the ledge or join me on the ledge. Because when I look at, and they have a ton of arms in camp. I mean, they really do, and good for them. And, you know, they've worked it, and they have guys there. You know, Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, Ben Lively, Luis Ortiz, Tristan McKenzie, Logan Allen, Jacob Junis now, Slade Ciccone, Joey Cantillo, Vince Velasquez. They have a lot of guys. I have confidence in one of them. That's it. Is my confidence factor way too low?
So I'm going to take a Jeff Phelps phrase, and I'm going to flip it on you, okay?
How you doing?
I think that's De Niro.
Oh.
But anyway, more along the idea of, do you trust the people in charge and trust the process?
I do, without question.
That's the reason that I am, while yes, I may have some level of concern, my answer to everything comes back to, they get these guys, they go, hey, why don't you lengthen your stride a little bit? Why don't you move your arm up a little bit more here? Twist the ball this way a little bit there. Work on this weighted ball thing. Do some leg exercises. Look, you're throwing 3 miles an hour faster with more break on your slider. And all of a sudden, like, they just do this. And every time we think they're in the middle of going, okay, they don't have enough starting pitching. This is going to fall apart. They're going to run into problems. They really need to increase the depth. They need to do this. They need to do that. They somehow just make it work to the point that I can no longer look at this and go, okay, I have concerns. I don't really have high strikeout guys. They rely a little too much on fly ball outs and, you know, the hard hit contact. Maybe there's a little bit of luck there and all that kind of stuff. But it's them, and it's worked for so long that I can't, like, start wringing my hands over it. That's the reason. I trust what they do. And the perfect example is Matthew Boyd.
That sure worked.
I was not a Matthew Boyd fan.
No, you weren't.
I did not like him when he was on the Tigers.
You kept poo-pooing it all the time.
I did not like him whatsoever.
He spoke highly of you.
I if he did, I'm sure he is a wonderful human being, and it is meant to be on field only when any kind of criticism. I am sure he is a wonderful addition to society. He made everyone's life around him better. But, like, I never liked him as a starting pitcher. Never was a fan. I thought he gave up too much contact. I thought it was in the air too much. I don't like fly ball pitchers because fly balls typically lead to home runs. And so they got him. They worked with him. They tweaked a few things. He came off of Tommy John surgery, and he was awesome. And he was really good for them, and yeah, he was good in the starts that he made. And it's like, that's the one that always goes off in my head of, like, you might not like these guys, but you like them and you like what they do with them. So you're kind of in this spot where it's like, do I still trust the process? I trust the process. And until the process does me wrong, I got to trust it.
Well, I do too. But I look at the group of guys they have, and I am concerned. I look at the rotation and I think, okay, Tanner Bibee, locked in, done.
175 innings, let's go.
There's one guy. He threw 173 last year. I think, fine, you're good to go there. Ben Lively, is he your number two starter right now? I think he's a question mark. And I say that based on, wow, did you think you were going to get what you got out of Ben Lively last year? Remember, he came back from Korea. He was pitching overseas, and they brought him back, and he stepped in, and he did a great job, made 29 starts. You think you're going to get that again? Or did you catch lightning at the right time, and you got a starter for the season? I don't know if he's able to repeat that. So that's question mark number two.
First half of the season, Ben Lively, 358 ERA. He walked 25 guys, struck out 78, had an opponent batting average of .238 against him, with a .298 on base.
He was terrific.
Second half of the season.
Yeah.
.414. Gave up, had less starts involved there as well, threw less innings through the whole thing, only 63 innings compared to 88 in the first half. .244, .315 on base, and a .400 slug. So it was down a little bit, but he was giving up more hits and more.
Yeah, which, okay, I get that. But what I wonder here, is he able to repeat what he did last year? I think he's a huge question mark. So that's two huge question marks there.
Do I get the first half guy or the second half guy? And I have no idea.
Right, which means what? Question mark.
Yep.
Gavin Williams, really highly thought of young starting pitcher. Well, we didn't think he was going to be out as long as he was out last year. He was out pretty long time. When he came back, he wasn't really good. I think they're counting on Gavin Williams to be in the rotation. I think you're banking on what you think he's going to be, and that's always dangerous to me. So there's another guy who I think, yep, I like him. In fact, I like him better than Ben Lively, certainly long term, but there's another question mark.
He's another one. I look at his stuff, and I'm like, I like how you throw. I like what you do.
And don't you think
very up and down last year.
Don't you think they're counting on him to be one of the starters this year? I do.
I think he's locked in.
I do, too. But I think it's a question. So that's two question marks out of the top three guys in the rotation.
I feel better about Gavin Williams than I do Ben Lively.
You do.
And I know I probably shouldn't, and I know people might disagree with that one. The reason being, I trust the guy who throws 97. I trust the guy who can, you know, rear back and fling it with a really good curveball and a pretty good changeup on top of it, and I can look at last season and go, okay, he was a little disjointed and it was a little bit of a mess, and maybe this year with a normal training camp and going through spring training the way that it was and a normal offseason, and all of a sudden life is good. Like, maybe just getting him back on track will do wonders and treating things like normal.
I'm assuming, I shouldn't assume here, because we all know, Luis Ortiz is going to be in the rotation. I'm assuming that. They picked him up from Pittsburgh. Last year, he made 15 starts as a starter in Pittsburgh last year. He was 4-4 with a 3.22, and his best performance of the year came against the Guardians at Progressive Field. He was really good. He's only 26 years old. I'm assuming he's going to be one of the starters. But he only made 15 starts last year. He made 15 the year before, was 5-5. I'm assuming he's going to be there. He's a question mark.
He is a question mark, but he's a fun question mark.
Oh, yeah.
He's...
Yeah, I think he's really interesting.
Everything that dude throws moves. Like, it's ridiculous when you watch him throw. Everything cuts. Everything sinks. It's one of those guys. I think it was the old Fausto Carmona thing where they used to tell him, "Hey, just throw it down the middle, and it'll move. Don't worry, just throw it right down the middle." And that was the philosophy they gave to him because he used to throw it all over the place. This guy kind of has a little bit of that where it's like, just throw it and it will move. Do not worry. He kind of reminds me, and I think some of it falls under his release and the dreadlocks as well might have something to do with it. There's a lot of like Luis Castillo in him, if you remember him at all from his days with the Reds and now with the
Seattle.
Thank you for the Seattle Mariners.
You're welcome.
He kind of reminds me of that dude. Now, he doesn't have the changeup that Castillo has, but he's fun. I have that guy circled. I want to see what the factory does with
him. See, I think he could be a key part of this. But again, question mark. And so we've gone through the guys I think are the top four guys in the rotation, Dano.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the top four guys. And there's only one that I don't have questions about. I wonder if that's a good or a bad thing if you're the Guardians. And then when you look at the fifth spot in the rotation, and I kind of like this, but the fifth spot in the rotation is, I think, wide open. If Tristan McKenzie is healthy and good to go, I think he gets it.
According to our buddy Zach Mazel, hitting 95 in bullpens.
Well, that's okay, but is the ball moving and does he know where it's going? I mean, velocity is wonderful. Strikes and getting people out are better.
Yeah, but for that guy, location was never the issue. Velocity was always kind of the issue.
Well, let's see how he is. And if you recall, at the beginning of last season, he wasn't throwing very hard. And by the time you got to later in the season, his velocity was a little better. I think McKenzie's a question mark, but I think he's the leading guy for that fifth spot. Nobody's mentioning Logan Allen. Everybody was pumped about Logan Allen for a while, remember? And then he just got... He was winning games and staying out there, but getting hammered. That's not what you're looking for. And they sent him down, and they never brought him back. I mean, you know, at least in any... He wasn't in the thought process.
Right.
But you go get Slade Ciccone from Arizona. Let's see what they can do with him.
Clearly, they saw something.
Jacob Junis, they just bring in. What are you going to do with him? I'm pretty intrigued, and the guy that I would give a spot to, if he looks good, Joey Cantillo.
Yeah, that's the name I got circled.
It's time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if this guy's ever going to do anything for you, now's the time.
I mean, you handed him the ball in, what was that, game two in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah.
You handed him the ball. Like, clearly there has to be some level of trust there to do that. And granted, he didn't pitch well, but, hey, I'd like to hand whoever questioned him for not pitching well the ball and tell him to go stand it. The pitcher's mound of Yankee Stadium and have the Bronx Bombers and the Bleacher Creatures and everybody else yelling at you. It's a little tough.
And Vince Velasquez is there as well. They just brought him in.
It's a fascinating name. I've always liked that dude. I've always liked the way that he could throw. I know he's thrown batting practice at a lot of different places he's been, but he's always one of those, like, I've watched him and been like, I think there's something here, but everybody has those. You know, if you would talk to me 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I'd be like, you know, that Andrew Cashner guy, he's really onto something. And like, he was throwing BP all over the league and continued to throw BP all over the league.
You have Tanner Bibee in the rotation. And then about 9 question marks. Do you trust this team? Do you trust the coaches? Do you trust the front office enough to have 9 question marks thinking that there's absolutely no way that 4 or 5 of them don't hit and become pretty good pitchers? I trust them enough, but I do think there are plenty of question marks there, and I think that's something that we all have to think about a little bit. So how does it work out? Well, we'll figure that out coming up on Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here, Dan Menigan flying the ship, Meredith taking phone calls, Andy Baskin in studio.
Hey.
You all right, dude?
Yeah, I'm good. A little fender bender on the way in. Thank you for taking care of the ship, boys. Appreciate you.
You got it. So why we're here. You're good to go?
Yeah, I think so. If something happens to me while we're in the middle of the show, just call 911. We'll be good.
Andy just called me Stevie during the break. So
that's okay.
We're wondering if everything's okay. But,
it's always good to be on the Bill and, Tom show.
You've always looked like a Stevie to me anyway.
Thank you. You kind of are a Stevie.
I'm a Steven?
Yeah, I could buy that.
Thanks.
Maybe you should change your name. You ever think about that?
No, I haven't.
Did you ever once think about having a professional on-air name? Different.
Yes.
And what would that have been?
Jeff Thomas.
Middle name?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought about that too. Andy Roberts. I thought about that for a while.
When I first met Jeff Thomas, I said, hi, you've stolen my name.
And what did he say?
I can't repeat that on the radio. Can't repeat that on the radio.
Probably not.
We're talking about Guardians pitching. Are you familiar with pitchers? I'm just checking to make sure you're okay. You know what a pitcher is?
Yeah, I put a thing of juice this morning.
You know what a guardian is?
Yeah, I drove by some of them. They were protecting the bridge over there.
Okay, well, sounds like you're up to speed.
Oh, that's good. All right. I was more into hurlers and Indians, so now I'm really confused. Oh, okay.
We just laid out the starting rotation options. Chris Antonetti talked yesterday, and he was on, what, Dano, MLB.com, MLB Network?
Yeah, MLB Network.
And Chris talked about beefing up the rotation. Here's what he had to say.
One of our primary goals going into the offseason was really to supplement our pitching at every turn. And so we feel throughout the course of the offseason we've been able to add a number of pitchers to the already exciting mix of guys that we had here. And we're excited to see that group come in and compete and earn spots on our team.
I love the already exciting mix.
Well, I mean, he's got to live that way, doesn't he?
I know.
Well,
I love that. I'm not complaining. I love it. My only question here, Andy, Tanner Bibee.
Okay.
After that, I don't think anything but question marks.
It's wide open.
But do you trust these guys enough to think, all right, you're going to have some real viable starting pitchers here who are going to get the job done, even though there are question marks about everybody else competing for a spot? We didn't mention Shane Bieber.
No.
Because, you know, we hope he's back. He's throwing and everything else, and we're going to hear Antonetti on Bieber in a minute. But question marks there. Every one of them. After Tanner Bibee.
Yeah, I think when I look at, when you just kind of glance over the rotation, big question mark is going to be Tristan McKenzie. And if he's able to come back and if he's able to be in the rotation. And
if he's healthy and throwing okay,
yeah.
You would think he is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to feel good about Gavin Williams. You got to feel good about Lively.
Why do you have to feel good about Gavin Williams and Ben Lively?
I don't know.
I think there are question marks with each guy.
Don't you think they're going to be in the rotation when this thing starts?
That doesn't mean there aren't question marks, because I think there are big question marks about each guy. But yes, I think they are going to be in the rotation.
So when I say feel good, I think feel good about seeing them in the initial rotation.
In?
Yeah. At least that's the way I think it's going to play out. I don't know. I'm intrigued with Slade, dude. Slade, what is it, Ciccone? Is that the guy they picked up from Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love his name. I'm sorry.
Slade, dude.
Come on. You can't tell me that isn't tough. Like, who are you going up against today? Slade. Oh, man. Like, I'm thinking about, I better bring a first aid kit with me. You're going to go up against him. I mean, his numbers are what they are. What is he, 104?
What if Slade innings? Was facing Spike?
Yeah, now that's the kind of game I'd like to watch.
There's a reason why Deathstroke in the DC Comics, Slade Wilson was the guy's name.
Yeah.
It's a tough name.
Right?
Tough dude.
I mean, you want your kid to be tough? You name them Slade. Is that his real name or a nickname, I wonder?
That's his real name,
I believe.
I think
it's his real name.
It makes me want to go back and rename Tropical Storm. I might have to go back.
As if Tropical Storm wasn't clever enough.
Yeah.
Well, hi, I'm T.S. Baskin.
I don't know. I'm thinking about going back and renaming him. Maybe I'll just have him change his name.
Shane Bieber is throwing.
Slade.
Apparently, Shane Bieber is throwing really well, and Shane's apparently not as tough as Slade, but, you know, he's throwing. He's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Can you count on him? Well, of course not. He's another question mark. But here's what Chris Antonetti had to say about Shane.
It's been awesome. He had his first bullpen the other day and looked great, so much so that we actually had to ask him to pull back a little bit because he almost looked too good. So hopefully he stays on the path he's on and can impact us at some point this year.
That's fair. Impact at some point this year. I think that's fair. And if he impacts too well, he's gone as a free agent at the end of the year. Because the option's on his part for year number two.
He sounds really happy. I don't know if you can give a better compliment for somebody on their first time out, right?
Mm.
When the general manager says we got to tell them to pull back.
Got to back off a little.
You got to ramp it up, Jeff. It's baseball.
Every guy wants to do that when he's coming back from injury. They always push it a little bit. So you're paying attention and working with it. I would think, Andy, and I throw out, I think there are question marks with everybody other than Tanner Bibee. But we like Carl Willis. We like the organization. We trust the front office. They have a great track record with pitching. I would think that they're going to have a pretty solid starting rotation. They'll figure it out. And I also think they're going to have a pretty deep group sitting in Columbus, just ready to come up and pitch if needed. So I think this will be a let's pay attention to this and see how this goes. But I think there's going to be enough depth there that they're going to stumble into two or three other guys who end up being pretty good.
Seems to happen every year, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Again, bullpens are fickle, man. If the bullpen comes out hot, you're going to have a great season. But, I truly believe in that.
Usually, in previous years, the rotation's been set. You know? Last year,
but look what happened.
Last year, not quite so much, but they only had three guys throw 100 innings last year at the major league level.
I mean, it was set to start the season, and then all of a sudden, boom.
It kind of went south, yeah. You assume Gavin Williams was going to be in it, and his injuries... You know, he lingered and lingered and lingered, and you assumed that Logan Allen was going to be pretty good, and he wasn't. You're not even hearing very much about him.
No.
I wonder if they actually sort through some of these guys and they either get traded, you know, get sent down. Guys who are out of options have to get DFA'd.
Yeah, they're going to have some interesting choices to make here, but again, I don't know, like, you're not walking into like, oh, we've got five starters that we know are going to lock it down this year, and we're going to the World Series and blah blah blah. You know, it's like rolling dice, especially with the bullpen. Other than Clase, and then Clase, you know, at the end of the season, you wonder how he's going to come back this year. I'm sure he'll be. Hopefully, he's dominant early on, and you don't have to worry about anything. And he wants to get back to the postseason to prove that, you know, it was just a little bit of a fluke there. I also wonder if they're going to manage innings a little bit different for some of these guys this year. You know, as a manager, you go into your first year with Stephen Vogt, and he ran those guys pretty hard last year.
The bullpen made a lot of appearances.
Yeah, so I wonder if they will adjust the way they look at guys in the bullpen and how many innings they're going to throw, and what, you know, same with starters, and if they feel like they can rotate between Columbus and Cleveland. And, I'm very curious, and I'd like to hear what Stephen Vogt learned about his own managing style going into the second season compared to the first. What did he learn? Like, what were his biggest takeaways? Because let's face it, I mean, he had a dream season for a first year. Like, that doesn't happen, what happened to him last year. Yeah. And to be able to walk into it and have success and, you know, just be able to have that magic touch to be able to have things work when you made them, you know, when you put somebody out on the field. So, it's not always going to work that way. I think he figured that out, you know, a little bit later in the season when things kind of tailed off a little bit. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm curious what he learned.
They had 14 different guys start games last year. Now, a couple of them were openers, but they had 14 different guys. So they juggled it like crazy. The one issue might be, and you just touched on it, Andy, man, did he use that bullpen last year. And you could make the argument that he used it so much that some of the guys didn't have their – good stuff come playoff time. Hunter Gaddis wasn't probably as sharp in the playoffs as we thought. Certainly Emmanuel Clase was not. Four guys made at least 74 appearances out of that bullpen. And one thing I think is interesting about the bullpen, we know they change every year, and you know, you get different guys, and you know, every year you tinker with the bullpen. Three of the key guys in that bullpen aren't on this team anymore. Heck, four guys. Let me add one. They traded Eli Morgan. Pedro Avila, now in Japan, he made 50 appearances last year. They dumped Scott Barlow during the season, which I thought was really interesting at the time. And Nick Sandlin got traded to Toronto. So four of the key guys out of that bullpen, for a portion of the season anyway, not with the team right now, but other guys who came up later in the year, Sabrowski, one of them certainly, Andrew Walters, another one. Those guys are going to be there this year and be there all year.
It's amazing to go back and look at the bullpen numbers and all across Major League Baseball and how good the Guardians were. Their ERA was at 2.67. The next best was Milwaukee, 3.11.
It was remarkable. And that's why I'm a little surprised that four of the guys out of that bullpen aren't on this team this year. And one of them wasn't even on it at the end of last year with Scott Barlow.
They gave up 25 less earned runs than any other team in Major League Baseball. Seattle was second.
Out of the bullpen.
Out of the bullpen, yeah.
Which is pretty impressive considering as many innings as they pitched as well. You know, and that I don't know if for the second year in a row you can bail out a starting rotation that might be slightly underperforming. slightly shallow, maybe, with a bullpen that's going to throw that many innings. I wonder. But, you know, you have some new arms back there that might be able to help you out. But he used it so much last year that I wonder if it was toast by the end of the season.
I got him pretty far. I don't think it's as bad as it could have been. I think it could have been a lot worse when they got to the playoffs and those guys would have been out of gas.
Yeah.
They weren't. They just weren't. So
some of them were, I thought. I thought Gattis left his best stuff in the regular season. Classe, I think, certainly did.
Classe, for sure. I'm haunted by the Yankees right now, thinking about the end of the Yankees series.
Haunted?
Haunted. It keeps me up at night.
Guardians bullpen was eighth in innings pitch last season.
Yeah, I was looking for that. Yeah.
Starters were in the low 20s in innings pitched. I could get that one. Just give me a sec.
It's a good formula.
Is it a good formula?
I mean, 24.
It worked last year.
Eighth is a lot of use, but it did work last year.
But does that include playoff?
No, this is just regular season. I can get you playoff, yeah.
That's right.
I would assume, and this is a leap of trust, and it's not, I don't think it's blind faith, because they've proven year after year that, you know, as Menigan calls it, the pitching factory, that they've been able to come up with a starting rotation that is serviceable at the very least. You know, it used to be the key to this team, and it wasn't that long ago that it was the key to this team. And then a bullpen that does a really good job. And fingers crossed, Andy, that they're able to do that again this year. I assume that they are. And they certainly have enough people out there, enough numbers. You know, there's safety in numbers, the old YMCA swimming commercial, that you're going to pull it off.
What kind of expectations are you walking into the season with beyond pitching? I mean, like, I can't
fathom that they're as good as they were last year.
I can't either. But you know what? I didn't expect them to be good last year, and so that's what made last year so good.
I'm real curious to see what they do with a couple of the positions. And we're going to talk about first base coming up in a second with Carlos Santana. But you know, to me, I just keep my fingers are crossed. And I don't mean this disrespectfully to Will Brennan or Junkenzie Noel. My fingers are crossed that Chase DeLauter just goes out and has a great spring and wins that job. And you put him in right field and you see what you have. I mean, you drafted him for a reason. And that reason is to be an everyday outfielder. And I hope he wins that job. And at some point, I think you just, you know, if he weren't injured last year, I wonder if he's going to do that. I don't believe he was on the 40-man last year. So they would have had to have made a move. And they would have erred on the side of caution anyway because of that and not put him on the team to start the season. I don't know. Now he's on the 40-man. If he goes out and has a great spring, put him in right field. Let's go. Let's see what you get. Why not? Because I think Will Brennan is a pro. They seem hesitant to put Junkenzie Noel out there on a full-time basis. And the platoon seems to be what they want. But I don't want to see a platoon. I want to see a right fielder who's going to hit 25 homers and drive in 80. And I think the best chance for that to happen is Chase DeLauter. How about first base? Are we still scratching our heads over that? I know I am. We'll scratch with you, so to speak. Coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.